CBA mobile. 4CBA, KN4RJN. You still mobiling around out there?
Didn't get enough. Oh, I'll tell you. Well, I'm headed tennis now, so I'm sure that's not hard to believe.
That's a real shocker.
Say it again.
Real shocker. You know, you really ought to get a hobby.
It's amateur radio.
Thought your hobby was mobiling around.
I key the mic, I'm throwing out electromagnetic waves.
Sound like it's a good thing.
Yes, so. But anyways. I tell you. So are we going to have this the rest of the week?
I'm going to turn the TV on and see. It's a little damp here. How's it over there?
Both grandsons over at the house, both of the daughters, one of the son-in-laws. So we got a lot of pandemonium going on right now.
You got a full house.
Changing clothes, and my youngest daughter and her husband and two-year-old grandson was in there, and my daughter was cooking, and she had a bunch of stuff going, stuff in the oven, stuff in the toaster oven, and all of a sudden I get this text from her. It says, "We just left. We're going to look at a house. They're trying to find a rental house." We'll be back in about 5 minutes. She said, "Just make sure nothing catches on fire."
That's comforting. At least she gave you the warning.
I mean, it would have been kind of funny if I'd have walked out there and nobody had been there. Yeah, evidently, I don't know, they must have gotten a tip from somebody and decided to go look at it, you know, before it got grabbed up in case it was a good deal, but evidently it wasn't what they were looking for.
Well, I'm watching Chris Justice on the TV here, and it is going to be raining for the next 12 hours at least. Let me see what else he's got to say here. The cold front drops a little lower, in which case it's liable to turn into something a little more solid.
Exciting. Throw a little wintry mix in there.
Oh, that'd be real exciting. unless you had to actually drive in it, in which case, no.
I like driving in the snow. I just don't like being around other people driving in the snow. Oh, me. But I used to have a blast up there. When I was a student at Morris Hill, they have several tobacco farms up there. And all the roads back in there were dirt, and they didn't scrape them. And so when it snowed, you know, the temperature, if it stayed down, that snow, it would stay on the ground a week or two on those dirt roads, and sometimes we'd get more snow and before it melted. So I had my old 63 Chevrolet Bel Air. I'd just drive on those old back roads, and that's how I learned how to drive in the snow.
Well, I grew up in Indiana. Of course, we get, you know, plenty of snow up there in the winter, but and I had a God, I don't remember what year it was, an old Corvair with the engine in the back, and that gave you enough traction you could actually, you know, keep the rear wheels from spinning around. The front was a whole different issue, but yeah, that was fun.
Corvair did pretty good in the snow. And you would think these front-wheel drive vehicles would do pretty good, but evidently, I don't know, it must not be enough weight, because I see a lot of them spinning, or maybe it's just people don't know how to feather the gas pedal, and, you know, they just step down on it like they normally do. I don't know. Mine's rear-wheel drive, and there's no weight over the back end, so it would be a miracle to drive this thing in snow and get anywhere around here.
I think it's just a matter of training and experience. People down here don't get to do that very often, and when they do, it's a big surprise. So, yeah, that and whereabouts down here are you going to find a pair of snow tires or snow chains or anything like that?
For helping my dad put on snow chains, and because he worked for People's National Bank. He was the bookkeeper. And at the time, and this is back in the 60s, and he had to be at work. He didn't have a choice when it snowed, and he had to back out of a garage. It was kind of uphill a little bit to the road, and then the road he backed down onto was a hill. So, but anyway, I helped him get the chains on, and help him get the work.
Now, when I was stationed up in Maine, I bought an old J10 pickup truck with a snowplow from a guy that was shipping out, and we lived on a cul-de-sac, and base engineers would come around and plow the road, but they'd leave about a meter and a half pile of snow at the end of your driveway, so I always parked the truck pointing out, and then would punch out my driveway, and then punch out my neighbor's driveway, and then go on to work and plow the parking lot, so everybody have a place to park. But up there in wintertime, I mean, almost everything's got a snowplow on it. I saw Volkswagens with a snowplow on the front of them.
Not to see. Oh, me. I guess that'd be a step up from a riding lawnmower with a snowplow.
Jeep, little Wrangler Jeeps with snowplows on them. It was, I mean, they put a snowplow in front of almost anything. I'm surprised I didn't see one on a bicycle.
Many of the county owns here, because they keep those in a separate place from where I worked. I worked on Keith Drive, and which is right there at the airport off of 291 and the downtown airport, and we used to have to, when it snowed, we had to go into work because we had to put chains on the police cars, and I don't think they do that anymore. In fact, I'm pretty sure they don't, but that was our job, so we had to get to work, you know, the best way we could.
Down there one time, it was just a dusting, and this guy grew up in like Michigan or Wisconsin or someplace up there, and there was a dusting of some snow on the road, and anything of it, and hopped in his car and drove to work, and there wasn't anybody there, and they told him, no, it snowed, the base is closed down, go back home, and he just, you know, kind of laughed, turned around, went back to his place.
You know, down here, a dusting, we get all excited and run out and buy all the bread and milk off the shelves and grocery stores.
In Maine, we would go out and get beer and chips, but yeah, the idea is the same.
The same, the outcome would be a little different.
Far with bread and milk, you know.
For CBA. Well, I guess, I mean, you know. The worst we had here since I've been alive was that ice storm we had. We were without power for 5 days. Now the roads were pretty, and they were in pretty good condition, I think, after a day or two. But we didn't, you know, it was the power that was the problem. And my wife couldn't understand why we didn't have power, because she said, our power lines are underground. Why don't we have power? Yeah, it was hard to explain, hard for her to understand that one.
Power during that ice storm too, and all our lines are underground. Unfortunately, the lines that feed those lines are not underground and right close to a whole lot of trees. So yeah, we were down for a while. Fortunately, we got a gas fireplace and a gas stove, so I could at least stay warm and heat water for coffee.
She went to I think it was Starbucks, and they had these big cardboard things with a plastic bag inside of it, and place to screw a lid on it. And they would fill those things full of coffee for you. And I don't know what they charged, but anyway, she bought one, brought it home. It was a pretty big thing. And so I would pour me some coffee out into a pan, a pot, and put a handle on it and stick it over the gas coffee up in the morning. So I'd have me a hot cup of coffee every morning when the power was out.
During that ice storm, I went out and got one of those little camping coffee percolators so I could put it on the gas stove and perk my coffee that way. I still got that around here somewhere. I may have to get that out if another ice storm heads this direction, but as long as you can give me coffee in the morning and I stay reasonably warm, I'll survive.
I'm just making sure I got the repeater. Can you coffee me okay? They had a percolator that you could put on the stove, and when it got hot enough, it would start percolating the coffee, and it was pretty good. So that's the kind I guess you could use over a fire, and if you ran out of electricity. And that was my mom's mom, but anyway. But I guess that 5 days without power, that's the worst we've had. And I was in high school in the 70s. We had three Wednesdays where it snowed, three Wednesdays in a row. And we missed so much school. We missed two or three days every week that on those Wednesdays, on those three Wednesdays. Because it just messed everything up, and I never will forget that, because I believe it was in December, because we were practicing for the Singing Christmas Tree performance.
When we were stationed up in Maine, they didn't call school up there unless you could measure the snow in meters, but I don't remember the kids ever staying home for a school day while we were up there. We were up there a couple, 3 years.
Didn't stay home for school if their particular school didn't have any heat.
Seemed to be a problem up there. They either had backup or they just, you know, built for it. But as they say up in Maine, you've got 9 months of winter and 3 months of bad sledding.
Normal was, I think it was around 75 degrees, and they were having record heat. It was 95 degrees, and I was just laughing my head off because she was so mad.
Scratchy spot there, but I caught most of that. Yeah, 95 up there is an unbelievable heat wave, yeah. It's because very few people up there actually own an air conditioner.
Wow, and yeah, most of the days were pleasant, but anyway, I enjoyed it. We had a good time. We took 2 days to go up there. We got up there, you know, as fast as we could, and then we took our time. I think we spent 3 days in Portland and Maine, and we spent the afternoon in Boston, and then we spent 3 days in New York City, and somewhere on the trip home we went to Virginia, and I stopped at the HRO in Virginia and bought me a ICOM 7300. So that was the highlight of my trip.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm gonna try to get I've been thinking about getting dual bander that'll do a cross band or an amplifier, so for HF, I'm not sure which one it's gonna be. But I plan on stopping at that same HRO and seeing what kind of trouble I can get into.
Yeah, that's the beauty of amateur radio. Just how much money do you want to spend?
Many facets of ham radio. If you don't like this, it's bound to be something you like. And not everybody likes the same thing. And I guess that's what makes it interesting, because there's so many different things you can do. And some people like to tinker around with circuit boards and build their own rig or whatever, and some people, just want to get on the air and talk, So whatever is your fancy. Well, I am pulling in the sports club here and try to find me two white lines without a car in it. And park my pony and go in here and see if I can play some tennis.
Well, knock 'em dead. Take care of yourself and have a good one. 73s, KN4RJN, I am clear.
KN4RJN, KB4CBA, clear.